Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, proud sponsor of this here show. The Titans will open mandatory minicamp starting tomorrow. We say hello now to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who is on the line with us. Brett, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Not too bad. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Ready for the next 3 days. Did you like minicamp? I mean, what was the most important part for you going into minicamp?
Yeah, I mean, I liked minicamp. You put in all the work from phase one, phase two, phase three. Minicamp's probably the closest thing you're going to get to probably a training camp type field practice. Obviously the GM's out there, a lot more people out there watching, a little bit more media, and it's got more of a training camp vibe. And so I felt like minicamp for me personally was more of like the final test of the off season. And so it felt the most like a real practice. Your schedule is the same as far as when your meetings are. You know, I think you can keep guys in the building till, 5 or 6 o'clock at night if you'd like to. Your practice is structured the same. The length of your periods are the same. You know, how many offensive plays you're running, defensive plays you're running. And it really truly feels like an in-season training camp type practice. And so I always liked it. Like I said, it felt like the final test of the off season before you got your break and then you ramped up into training camp.
Yeah, and I mean they're not going to have pads on, you know, it's going to be all of that. But to me, this feels like the first major test for Cam Ward and this wide open receiver group, because I mean we know a couple of them that are going to be on this team, but there's I think 13 guys competing for, you know, 5, 6, 7 spots, something like that. To me, this is really going to be the first step towards getting, you know, that cohesiveness together.
Yeah, and I know there's not really a depth chart per se. I think it's unofficial if they even release one or if they even have to. I'm not really sure on the rules on all that stuff. But, just the way your practice is structured now, I think you can probably have a 2-hour practice, if not a little bit more. And so, phase three, even a little bit of phase two, you know, you can work in the quote unquote one, two, three, fours, however you want to do that, right? Because you're not necessarily together. You might be separate for a lot of things. But, you know, when you get to the mini camp practices, all of a sudden now it shrinks down to, hey, ones are up, twos are up, and that's it. And you move on to the next period. And then it might be ones and twos again. You move on to the next period, right? And so you can kind of, you don't want to really look into it too much or read into it too much yet. But you kind of get an idea of, okay, these are the guys that are working with the ones. These are the guys that are the twos. And, you know, who's kind of getting the most reps and maybe who's getting left out is just an early indicator of, you know, kind of maybe how the offseason went.
Well, and I would think, too, Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter, that you would be looking, you know, who's going to help you on teams. And it's more than just a returner. I mean, you're looking for the whole special teams unit.
Oh, 100%. I mean, once this – the season rolls around in season, right? We had our special teams practices, you know, as far as our periods that we were doing things. And then, you know, a lot of times once those were done, if I went over there with Baronis or Suckup, Brinkley or Morgan Cox, right, the specialist, we'd kind of go over to the other field and just kind of work on some smaller things, some smaller details, right? But like once you get, you know, phase three, especially when you kind of do a little bit more, and then obviously mini camp, we weren't doing that. I was watching practice. I was watching different drills, you know, watching guys because you see how they work in a special teams period, right? You see how they're working in punt and the effort they're giving and if they're able to do it. So then you kind of almost, you go over to these other periods in practice and you start rooting for your guys that you kind of want to be on special teams. So I did that a lot during, you know, obviously mini camp and then training camp, just because you want to get a feel of like, hey, who's getting these reps? When are they getting these reps? Do they have a good chance of making the team? Maybe not. Like, do they need a pretty big preseason to make it? You know, there's all these different factors that go into it. But, you know, from a special teams perspective, like, you kind of got your guys, right? You see how they're performing and you want them to succeed.
Did you ever, you know, like, watch a guy, whether it was on punt protection or something like that, or even, you know, when you weren't on the field and you're watching, you know, return team or whatever, and kind of see something and then advocate for him, go to coaches like, hey, I really, you know, if he was a bubble guy, like, hey, I really would love to have him because he does a really nice job. I mean, were there any instances where you would have that kind of conversation with coaches?
Yeah, I mean, we'd have conversations. I don't know if I'd necessarily, you know, go pitch for somebody because that's the coach's decision. I'm not going to meddle in all that kind of stuff because I really don't know what's going on offensively or defensively.
Sure.
Like, for me, somebody might, oh, that looked like a really great route, and then the next thing you know, they're getting yelled at because they were a yard off the depth on running their route, and you're like, dang, all right, well, that's not good, right? I do remember, you know, having conversations, especially with gunners, and more importantly, guys that could, you know, down the punt on those plus 50s. And so I distinctly remember, you know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and seeing him in practice and, like, the hands that he had. And then all of a sudden, you know, they put him on special teams as a gunner. And, you know, we're working the inside the 20 drill, you know, where I'm just really hitting these flip-flop balls. You know, Johnny Hecker's probably doing the exact same thing. You know, you're hitting these balls to a certain spot, to a certain location, and they're learning how they bounce, you know, which ways it'll kick left, which ways it'll kick right. And the guys that are able to identify that of when to catch it, when to let it bounce. And Nick, I remember having a really good instinct of it. And I remember having a conversation with Aukerman. I was like, look, I don't know what's going on offensively with him, but man, I tell you what, for plus 50 punts going to my left, which 98% of my plus 50 punts were going to my left. So that was very crucial to have that left gunner, like, to be the guy, right? Somebody that I really trusted in. And I remember having that conversation with Auk, like, man, if this guy can make the team, like, you please have him as a left gunner. He's like, man, I totally agree with you. So that's, you know, one conversation I definitely remember. But it's important. It's huge. The more you can do, the better chance you have to make the team.
Talking to Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe show. All right, so last year, Brett, Will Levis had this thing where, hey, come with me, some nice locale, we'll throw passes for 6 weeks. So if Cam Ward does this or Will Levis does this, who do you go, which camp do you go to?
are you saying if like Will Levis goes to Ensworth and Cam Ward goes to Father Ryan, which
yes.
one are you going to?
Yes. Which one do you pick?
Has that ever happened before?
I hope not, and I hope it doesn't happen this time.
You come up with some of these crazy what if questions, don't you, man?
He loves those. I do. You know, I get the workouts. I understand all that. I mean, would it be one where Cam and Will say, together, let's get all the receivers. I think it'd be great for the team. Let's go to some place for a week and just get together and throw the ball. I think it'd be fantastic.
Well, I could see it. Will Levis is like, hey, guys, we're going to Father Ryan, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then Cam's like, yeah, we're going to go to 30A. We're going to go throw a 30A.
I'm at 30A.
Like, oh, hey, we're going to go to Baja Mar in the Bahamas. That's where I'm throwing at now. And there's some big competition of, you know, which spot you want to bring all the receivers. But I think it's great. You know, I remember a couple years, you know, a lot of the guys would stay in town. They'd do a little bit of travel here and there, but there'd always be a time where, hey, we're throwing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And then, you know, I might come on a Tuesday, Thursday because some of the receivers wanted to catch punts, right? And you kind of had like a mini practice, just not at the facility. So I would assume that those guys would get together because it's extremely important, you know, with this group of guys, obviously with Cam. Hopefully being the ringleader of it, get these receivers together just to be able to throw, communicate routes, communicate situations, you know, with certain routes against certain coverages and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully they can get together. I would assume they would, whether it's locally or somewhere else, maybe in Florida, but where they can get together and work so that they're ready for camp.
What is it okay for Cam for a week or two, Brett, in your opinion, to step away from football? Because you got to figure, he's been going full throttle since last August. Regular season,
100%.
All-season workouts. Would you advocate, like, hey, for 2 weeks, just get away? Don't worry about
Great
football,
question.
Just go.
Yeah, I would say at least a week. Just get a week, go somewhere, you know, whether it's your family, whatever people you want to be smart, obviously, first of all, you know, don't be – doing something stupid, which I don't think that's his MO. So, yeah, I mean, just get away for a week. He's been grinding, you know, while the veterans and all that stuff have had off season and all that kind of stuff to decompress. I mean, he's really gone from his season at Miami to, you know, training for workouts, all that kind of stuff, into the draft process, into now he's, you know, full throttle with the Titans. So if he just get a week away just to not even think about football for a little bit, which is pretty hard to do. But if he can get away for a week, that'd be great. And then obviously start refocusing to get ready for camp.
Brett Kern is with us. Did you, you know, we saw in Hard Knocks a few years ago, I think it was, who's the quarterback? That his wife was like calling out plays or formations or stuff, and he'd have to like know what the play was. Did you ever go through things like that? I know it's a little different, you know, for a quarterback and a punter, but did you ever like have your wife call things out so you would know formations and all that?
It would be simple for her because mine was like punt left or punt right. but no, I mean, see, my wife and I have been together since college, and I do recall, you know, we went to the University of Toledo, which, you know, winters are not great up there. And I remember, you know, trying to get space to kick and punt in the wintertime, and there was a golf dome, the South Toledo Golf Dome, which closed at 9 o'clock. It didn't have any heat, nothing like that. And so they said, hey, you can come after, you know, everybody's done hitting golf balls and, you know, the dome's yours for a half hour. And she would come with me, and sometimes she would throw snaps to me. Sometimes she would just go, you know, retrieve the balls and stuff like that. But she would come and kind of help out any way that she could. And, you know, she's been obviously a huge support system for me, obviously in college since we've been together, obviously through the NFL. So, not necessarily play calling out or anything like that, but, you know, she's definitely been a huge blessing and a huge support system.
Did you ever yell at her for having a low snap to you? I'm like, come on!
No, absolutely not. No. She's got an arm. Like, we met on an intramural softball field. Like, so I wasn't really concerned about her,
good,
you know, throwing any ducks or anything like that. Like, I mean, those things were pretty tight spirals right on the spot, so...
Have you ever yelled at a long snapper during a game?
No.
No, really?
No, I'm not a big, like for me, I could maybe challenge somebody in a certain way, but I'm not going to yell at somebody just because, like, I've never long snapped in the NFL. I don't know how hard it is to do that. I don't know how hard it is to be a gunner or how hard it is to be wide receiver. Like, I've never done it before. And the level that they're doing it at is obviously the best in the world. And so I'm not going to yell at somebody to say, hey, you need to do your job better, or why isn't it like this or this, right? Be like, hey, man, you know, if there was a low snap on a punt, hey, man, I think it was at my left knee, I need it at my right knee. You're good, let's get the next one. Like, that's just kind of how I approach things, just because I've never done it at that level. So, you know, if I had another punter, I would be yelling at another punter because I know what that feels like.
Right.
But not, so...
I get it. So let me ask you this. What's the most nervous you ever were as a holder? Was it the Kansas City game when Suckup hit it to win the game? Is that the most nervous? I'm sure there's others, but that's the one that stands out to me.
Well, here's the thing. When you play in the cold, you don't really feel as much. I don't know. For some reason, I never really got nervous for cold games because I really just couldn't feel my body as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. That, you know, that Kansas City game and that hold, I was just like, I was so focused on trying to stay warm and keeping my hamstrings warm, my lower back, all that kind of stuff, that it was like, oh, we're actually going to try a field goal. Okay. I wasn't really nervous for it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, I think maybe the one that I felt like I was most nervous for was the game winner in Houston to win the division, because that's the first time like I'd ever won the division, and what that felt like after 10 years, right? And I remember, I don't think it was the COVID year. So there's, Gostkowski wasn't kicking, and there was just a lot going on. I remember I was at home.
Oh yeah. What was that guy's name?
I was in protocol. So I had no reps, or like our first reps were in Houston and warmups. I just remember, I think that one was probably the most nervous, besides my rookie year, first preseason game, my first ever NFL hold, you know, take that one away. That was probably probably one that I can remember for sure.
So this would have been like January of 2021.
That sounds right. But we were in Houston.
Yeah. What was that? Sam Sloman. That guy.
Sam Sloman. That's right.
Sam Sloman, no. That kicks a 37-yard field goal to win it.
Yeah, because Gostkowski was in protocol because something for COVID, and then I was around him for a certain amount of length in the Green Bay Packers locker room the week before, so then I got put in a protocol, So I couldn't even show up to work the whole week. And then Auk was like, yeah, Sam Sloman's our kicker. And I was like, well, when am I going to get rest with him? Like, well, I guess Houston in warm-ups. So that was that. So it worked out.
Brett, you know, I think the Mattis, the only time I've seen you really yell was you know, questioning the refs about that damn crosswire when you were with Philadelphia, that wire across the field.
I was mad because that punt felt so good. And, you know, you're in an NFC championship game, right? It's not like you're playing, you know, Sunday at noon and there's 800, you know, games going on at the same time. Like, I mean, that's a big game. Everybody's watching. And I hit that thing so good. And that thing just, I mean, it looked awful after it hit the wire. I was so mad. I was so mad because they added another wire. So normally there's only one cross wire for the camera. And then they added a second one, another cross wire on top of that. So the normal one was lower than what it used to be or what it should have been. So it was just, there were wires everywhere. And yeah, it was just a lot. So I was pretty heated. I definitely do get upset at officials because they usually mismark my ball when it goes out of bounds. So that's.
Hey, it's okay. They deserve it. That's Brett, right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it as always. We will talk next week.
Yes, sounds good. We'll see y'all.
Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. Yeah, I remember this game now because history was also made in that game.
With Sam Sloman?
Yeah, Derrick Henry crossed the 2,000-yard mark.
Oh, okay.
250. 34 carries, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then 10 receptions, 151 yards, and a touch for A.J. Brown. I think that put him over 1,000.
God, think about that.
I know. I got depressed.
A.J. Brown. I mean, and
yep.
Him and Julio would not have been hurt. I mean, that 19 team. I mean, it just.
Was that the Julio year? No, that was.
Julio came in 21. But I'm thinking if you go back to the 19 when all
so
that
this
was
is 2020.
Rolling. Yeah, 2020.
Oh, this, yeah, Corey Davis. This was
Corey Davis.
Because Corey Davis missed 1,000 yards by, like,
yep.
He was, like, just, like, 20-something.
Well, the 21 team, and with Julio came here and A.J. and Derek, I just – and now you look at where it is now,
yep.
How quickly things turn around.
Yep.
I mean, it blows your mind.
The NFL stands for not for long.
Well, especially with this franchise, it goes on. I got a stat for you coming back about Super Bowls and time. It's pretty fascinating.
Chase and Big Joe live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.